This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham, joined by my co-host today, is Rod Mullins. We're going to talk NASCAR, and of course, we'll get you ready for Homestead and the Championship 4 race coming up this weekend. But first, let's go off the track and some sad news in NASCAR. David Pearson passing away, 83 years old, the NASCAR legend, the Silver Fox. Rod, take us through this and maybe put some perspective on David Pearson's career in NASCAR.
Well, David Pearson's career in NASCAR just speaks for itself. Second in all-time wins to Richard Petty with 200. He had 105, and he was probably one of the most consistent race car drivers that was out on the circuit, even at a time when the Petty's were dominating. It just seemed like he could just do no wrong when he would be out on the track. But, there were a lot of people that thought many times before that David Pearson and Richard Petty had a super intense rivalry that was just, you couldn't, it's like the two did not like each other hardly whatsoever. But in reality, it was just the complete opposite. It were two men that respected each other so much, and Richard Petty was, he was just so gracious in his remarks that was sent through Petty Enterprises or Richard Petty Motorsports about the passing of David Pearson. He's just an incredible driver. And then at the same time, he ran for the Wood Brothers, and he ran at the time for the Wood Brothers when they committed themselves to just running the big tracks, because the Wood Brothers had gotten into this thing of where power, they'd been able to develop these Fords and also these Mercury cars that ran with so much power, they felt that their best chances of winning were on the big super speedway, the Daytona, the Talladegas, and things like that. And then eventually it got to the point where they came in and started being a little bit more competitive with some of the other tracks. But David Pearson was just, he was, according to Richard Petty, one of the toughest competitors in his career that he ever had to face. And I think that really Richard Petty said it best. NASCAR also said it best, too, that David Pearson was just one of those important parts of NASCAR that helped set a stage for a transformation that made it into the mainstream part. And I don't know if a lot of people remember this or not. 1976 was the race that a lot of people were talking about, the beat and banging between Richard Petty and David Pearson, just as they got ready to close in on the start-finish line at Daytona, and both cars end up going off into the grass infield down in there in front of the start-finish line at Daytona, and Petty can't get his car started. Smoke's coming up from the radiator, steam, and so forth. David Pearson is able to fire his car, get it across the start-finish line before the rest of the competitors come up and catch him, and he wins a race in 1976 at Daytona. That's the old way of racing that we have started to see a little bit of the playoffs. But I think some of the young drivers, the Truexes, the Kyle Busches, people like that, don't look back on the history part of this, what's made this sport and made it what it is today to where they've got to. And so I think David Pearson's going to be sadly missed. He just got named into the Hall of Fame here several years ago, and he was always known as the Silver Fox, always had a grin on his face. You really just didn't know what was coming at you there on the track until David Pearson would surprise you at the very last minute. And I think he was one of the great drivers that will sincerely be missed.
It makes me think, every story needs conflict. You can't have one side and have it be interesting. The Yankees need the Red Sox. The Cowboys need the Redskins. Muhammad Ali needed Joe Frazier. And for Richard Petty, as dominant as he was, he needed someone like David Pearson to compete with him. And 100-plus wins in NASCAR, when you look especially at the numbers now, that's just a huge number. It's astronomical. And that's, of course, it's second place to Petty's all-time. But it's just – it speaks to – you said it right, Rod. It speaks to, those two guys. NASCAR really needed that rivalry for the years that – for the many years that they were 1-2. They needed that rivalry to really build the sport upon, and that's the sad part here is that one of those guys that the sport is built upon is now gone.
Yeah, and Pearson too, and you have to say that Pearson was successful. The most successful track that he ran at was in South Carolina because he won 10 times at Darlington. Darlington, to win 10 times at Darlington is an accomplishment. Because the Lady in Black, as so many drivers will tell you, it will bite you back. And he had a way of being able to master that racetrack there at Darlington. And I wouldn't be surprised if this coming weekend, especially with it being the Homestead race, the last race of the season, I really wouldn't be surprised to see the Wood Brothers pay tribute in some way if they get permission from NASCAR, which I think they will. They'll do some kind of special little thing with their car, have some kind of sticker on there, or some kind of tribute will be given to him at Homestead. Because, hey, we wouldn't have got there to Homestead, and we wouldn't have got into this playoff system if it hadn't been for drivers like David Pearson setting the stage early on and putting us to this level. Because, you know, again, I'm going to spend it. You're coming up with the preview a little bit more of the Homestead race. We've seen some of the best racing so far this season, I think, that we've seen in what could be the last 5-10 years, probably, in NASCAR, because there's been beating and banging, and that's the way that racing used to be.
All right, let's talk about the racing then. So, yeah, with Homestead coming up this weekend, let's recap what happened in Arizona at the Can-Am 500 this past weekend. Kyle Busch's 8th victory of the season. And so now we know the field is set in terms of the championship round of this of Homestead. And Kyle Busch leads the way. Some folks got left on the outside looking in, too. Some big names left on the outside looking in. Take us into Arizona and the fallout from that big race.
Well, I mean, with this race, the Can-Am 500 at the new International Speedway Corporation's track there in Phoenix, you know, Kyle Busch picked up an 8th win on the season there, and he was really cruising along with this one there toward the very end, but a late wreck pretty much dashed the hopes of Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott trying to at least make some kind of progress and make it into, for Chase Elliott being able to make it into the final race. And you had that wreck at lap 269. It ended all the hope for Kurt Busch and Chase Elliott. And it was one of those unfortunate wrecks that happened, but it happened at the most inopportune time for both of those drivers. And then finally, Kyle Busch grabbed the lead away from his teammate, Eric Jones, and then he took over the rest of the way. But what got so interesting toward the end of the race, and with about 30-some laps to go, you start hearing radio chatter. And the thing was, Kevin Harvick was running pretty good there for a while, but Kevin Harvick just didn't have enough there at the very end. But this is what played out on the chatter on the radio from Tony Gibson, who was subbing in for Rodney Childers this past week because Rodney Childers was penalized because of the spoiler problem here a couple of weeks ago. Now, the talk on the radio is to Kevin Harvick, don't let Almirola pass you and give him a chance to win the race. If he does, you're out. You're gone. You have no chance of winning this race, or you have no chance of making it into the playoffs. And see, if he could have the positive inspection, so to speak, post-race inspection, Harvick wouldn't have had to worry about it. But Harvick was trying to do everything he could to hold on to Almirola. And then with that, if he had been able to pick up the win, Kyle Busch could have qualified. But Almirola could have got into the playoffs himself, and that would have been unseating someone out of that. And it could have been Martin Truex, which is what could have happened. But instead, we have Truex, we have Joey Logano, we have Kyle Busch, and now we have Kevin Harvick as the ones that can have a chance at this championship at Homestead this coming weekend. So, but Kyle Busch, you know, he said one quote that kind of got me, and that quote was, "I'd like to think it gives us a lot, but I don't know." He said, "Talk is cheap," and he's right about that. Talk is cheap, but according to all this, they've got to be able to go out there, perform, and do what they need to do this coming Sunday at Homestead. And being able to do what they did at Phoenix this past weekend was certainly beneficial. And he said, "But you know, when everything starts getting down to the final couple of laps, depending on what the situation of it is, Kyle Busch is just plain and simple. All bets are off, and it's time to go."
All right, we'll preview Homestead in just a moment, but let's talk first. William Byron earns Rookie of the Year. Talk about that, and what a great year for Byron this season.
Yeah, this is great for this rookie. He came on, ran a couple of races last year, but mostly spent his time in the Xfinity Series. He's the driver of the number 24 car. He's picked up sponsorship from Hertz this past year. And, you know, what's so interesting about this young man is think he's somewhere around 20, 21 years old, somewhere in that neighborhood. He attends Liberty University. All of his classes are pretty much online, and yet he pulls off Rookie of the Year honors this year. And, you know, he had sponsorship from Liberty at different times on the card throughout the year, and he's won Rookie of the Year honors in four consecutive seasons after coming in, getting the award in the Xfinity Series last year. He got the Camping World Truck Series in 2016 and the K&N Pro Series in 2015, so he's carried it right on. And Eric Jones and him are the just the second drivers to win in all of the series, the Cup, the Xfinity, and the Truck Series, in back-to-back-to-back seasons. So, I mean, he's made a great accomplishment. You know, he's in a great organization, too, with Hendrick, and it's been a learning experience this year for him. But, you know, here's another thing, too. Hendrick has a way of being able to pick out these guys that are such great drivers that end up earning Rookie of the Year honors. How about throwing out these names? Jeff Gordon in 93, Kyle Busch in 2005, and Chase Elliott in 2016. So now, I think the future looks like for this young man. And, of course, still a student at Liberty University. And a lot of people, when you start talking about NASCAR, the first thing that they bring up is, oh, the Byron kid. Yeah, he's run for Liberty University of Utah. So it's given them a little bit more exposure maybe on the NASCAR circuit with their sponsorship. But for Byron, he's really looking forward to next year. Also this weekend, of course, with Homestead, he's just happy to be a part of the Cup Series. And he's not – you would think he's a fan walking through the infield. And when you see him, he doesn't look like he's a very tall kind of person, but he just looks like a kid. And that's essentially what he is at my age, considering how old I am. He's still a kid, but he's still got some driving left.
One bit of bad news for William Byron is unless he moonlights in Indy or Formula One next year, he won't be Rookie of the Year for the fifth straight year. So that's the only thing, you know, that streak will come to an end, but everything else pretty good for Byron, right?
Yeah, it looks that way, exactly.
So now Homestead. So we've got our final four, the championship four. You mentioned it's Kyle Busch, it's Joey Logano, Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick. And, gosh, anything can happen in Homestead. And we've seen, you said it earlier, Rod, this has been such an exciting playoff. The races this playoff season have been, I mean, the endings, the middle race, everything has been so exciting this year. It's been a really real resurgence for NASCAR, renaissance for NASCAR. So, easy question for me to ask, hard one for you to answer. Who wins this weekend? Who walks away with the championship?
I have no idea, but if I knew the answer, I'd also be walking away with the $1 billion lottery that we had here a couple of weeks ago, too, because if I could forecast that one, oh, man, I would put all my bets on, you know, one particular driver. As it stands now, you know, I don't know. It's you've got four strong drivers that are at the, you know, the pick of this whole group of this championship four. But, you know, somebody can still come out of the pack and win this race. And they don't have to be the championship four, of course, to win just the race itself. But these drivers also have to stay out of trouble for these laps, for this Ford 400 that they're going to be having. They're going to at Miami Speedway. It's going to be crucial. And Kyle Busch is going to have to. He's going to have to maintain some good alliances with some people. Hopefully he's been on some people's good side this past week, and nobody will try to take him out. Joey Logano, the same thing there with Martin Truex. You know, looking at these two, we could have us a slam bam fight right down to the very end. These two are in position to at least be leading the points at that particular juncture. Somebody get on the radio and say it's time to take one or the other out, because I know that Logano's camp does not want Truex to win it, and I know Truex's camp does not want Logano to win this race. The one that is the dark horse to me of the whole thing is Kevin Harvick. And Kevin Harvick has got the experience. He has survived out of this entire season. He's won, oh gosh, in double digits, I think, right now in races. He's won, I think, 9 or 10 races is what he's won on the season. So you've got him in there contending, but, you know, you've got temperament. Kyle Busch, where is he going to be at? Mark Truex, where is he going to be at? Logano is a little bit more low-key coming into this Homestead race, I think, more so than he was when the Martinsville little situation came into play. Ian Truex tangled there going over the start-finish line. I think he was very low-key about it. He wasn't bragging and telling everybody that Truex deserved it. He said, that's just racing, and that's exactly what it was. Truex can go on for days upon end and say that he raced him the wrong way, and I don't believe that. So you've got these four that it's going to be tough either way it goes, and this one will go down to the wire as to who will be there standing on the podium there at the end in victory lane and who will be awarded the championship trophy. And, oh, man, that trophy is beautiful this year, too. It's a representation of all the tracks that are on the circuit. It's a big trophy, and one of these guys are going to come away with it for that championship, and they're going to be tickled when they actually come away with it.
Yeah, Rod's been there from the very beginning of this season. He covered the January event in Charlotte, and he's been carrying us all the way through here on AFP. And here we are getting ready for the final race of the season. So, Rod, what is your Twitter handle out there for our listeners so that they can follow you? Because I know you tweet a lot leading up to the race. You'll be tweeting during the race. What is your Twitter handle?
It's RoderickM926. So you'll be able to see some stuff. And I'll throw in a hashtag, too, for AFP and Augusta Free Press. We'll throw some things in there and let everybody know, and they can follow along. And we'll be taking care of that this coming weekend and following along with the racing action for Bennett Homestead.
It's a good follow for those out there on Twitter. During the race, you're and tweet at Rod, too. He'll answer your questions. He's our resident track expert here at AFP. So follow Rod, tweet at Rod, get your questions answered on NASCAR racing. Well, Rod, thank you for your time, and we look forward to talking to you next week and kind of wrapping this season up.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thank you very much.